During Robert Brogdon's Olathe Buick GMC clearance event, save up to 20% on new models like the 2023 Buick Encore GX or GMC Sierra 1500. View their huge inventory at robertbrogdon.com and find your perfect match.
The Border Patrol is presented by Walker Medical Linen Services, locally owned and operated, and HLAC certified, meeting the highest industry standards. Walker has partnerships with hospitals, surgery centers, and medical clinics in and around the metro area. Walker Medical Linen Services in Kansas City and online at walkermls.com.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol of Sports Radio 810 WHB. Let me remind you that tonight, pregame at 6:30, and then Kansas and Baylor at 8 o'clock. Kansas needs a win.
What did they get their
butts kicked?
I don't know what that was, man.
At home against TCU, Nate, but you better be lucky it's a Chiefs victory Monday. You'd have a lot to answer for on this day.
I thought that's why I was here, to about that.
We had you to talk about your team choking against Baylor.
They do that all the time. There's nothing new about Oklahoma losing by 2 points at home.
And let me tell you,
there's something new about getting beat by 23.
Oof. To be honest, Mizzou's tip off was at 5 o'clock, so that game was never going to be watched anyway.
That was never going to be watched.
But then, like 2 hours before the game, I got the press release. Kobe Brown will not be playing due to his ankle injury. And I'm like, Mizzou will not be winning against Alabama. And they did not. So, all right. But we're talking Chiefs.
Yeah, let's talk K-State Chiefs. K-State won, by the way.
And by the way, it looked a little iffy there in the second half. They fell behind, and to their credit, they stepped up and rallied and won that game.
But
congratulations
tonight,
to K-State.
You can listen to Kansas and Baylor right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. What I want to remind you is Sunday, lock it in. We'll have our best of Chiefs starting at midnight, hosted by Todd Lebo, I hope. Fingers crossed. Our Chiefs special programming, 6 a.m., Chiefs tailgate at 8 a.m., ESPN countdown to kickoff at 9, Central Bank of the Midwest pregame show at 10. Then we'll have Westwood One pregame at 1, Championship Sunday, the NFC Championship game at 2 o'clock between the 49ers and the Eagles, and then the AFC Championship game at 5:30 between the Bengals and the Chiefs right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB, followed by Sports Radio 810's Chiefs postgame show. I mean, did you like listening to little Kevin Harlan and Trent Green there? Did you like who will call the game, you think, for the AFC Championship game on Sunday? I want the same.
I don't know for sure, but I would think Kevin would probably choose this one. He kind of gets to pick.
I want they. What kind size?
And sometimes he would have the choice between, because he's got a lot of roots in Green Bay. It's not a factor this year. Right. So
who's better than Kevin Harlan and Trent Green? I'll wait.
Well, I'll add to it, though. Kevin and Olivia Harlan.
Who's
Decker.
Better? I'll wait.
And the other broadcast is also excellent. And last week, where I was listening, I don't know who will do it. It could be Ian, could be on it because he does some of those. But Kevin Kugler was doing the second game, and he does a great job for Westwood.
He's really
he's our friend as well. Westwood One's games are awesome.
Yep.
They're well called they're perfect. And we'll have it all right here.
Ian Eagle was on that butt whipping KU took.
Ian Eagle used to be on this show quite a bit.
Yeah, he did.
Because he was close confidants with Jake, and now Jake, I guess, took him with him. So
you know, there's no place here in town that you will be able to hear both those games. Other than right here.
Oh, yeah, Sports Radio 810.
Yeah, right here.
There's
a rumor.
Uh-oh.
That I won't be alone in the press box.
Ain't no rumor.
Sunday.
I already told you.
I've been told before.
No, we've and
you're
there's
gonna
a
be
little
sitting
give and
next
take.
To this guy, making cracking little ha ha's and playing
I
little grab
made
ass
my,
in the press
my
box.
Reintroduction at Arrowhead.
Yeah.
You know,
he's back.
There are
the
few
back
people
is healed.
That cared enough to ask about me and have kept tabs on me.
And then I'm out there at the game Sunday, and more than one person said, "It's nice to see Steven out there this last week." I said, "He's almost healed.
Right.
His heart is still broken.
I'm getting there. Right.
But his back problems are almost behind
him. I've got three physical therapy appointments this week.
Are you going to take them all.
I've gone to all of them. I went to three last week. I'll go to today at noon.
That's right.
But then Wednesday's iffy because, you know.
Hey, listen, if you have to go to physical therapy, that comes first.
Not really.
We've got people here who
can AFC Championship things. Game comes first. I'll be out there at Arrowhead either Wednesday or Thursday.
And Nate will be out there maybe if he wants to.
Nate's we'll not see. Going, he
we
said.
Got, we yeah. got a lot of things to do out there.
Nate said he'll only ask questions about the World Cup.
This right. this is the.
What are you doing to prepare the stadium for the World Cup in 2026?
This grass is of
this is the year quality. That the.
By the way, the field looks incredible.
Yeah, it really did. The availability this week will be kind of normal time, but this is when they take the podium to the press room at the stadium.
Yeah.
They bring the trophy in all
right, I'm
and
out.
All that stuff.
And
so,
this, and I'm, correct me if I'm wrong, this is, there's a meal involved perhaps.
There generally has been a meal.
Is every that, day or
that,
what?
That's that why you want to go?
No, it's not why I go. I know.
Was just hoping maybe you would help me.
You know,
you
what's,
got my
you know, and I am, but you know what's scary about this?
That's when the remember, picture of your back.
Last time I was covering the AFC Championship
4 years
game
ago.
Week. No, that was that wasn't the last time, but one of them.
Didn't get to do anything for two of
my
years,
back
so
went out
it was,
up in the press room, and he found that to be hilarious.
I bet
and
he
I
did.
Couldn't stand up straight.
You were standing up straight against that wall.
No, I needed the wall. I was like, Tom was climbing up the wall to get up, and he instead of helping me and saying, hey, do you need help standing up, he took pictures of me in pain and was sending them out to people. So
anyway,
that's what I get. Let's
crazy
hear some
game,
can
man.
I hear some post game a little bit?
Yeah.
I'm gonna play some things for you.
Yes.
And I want to hear what you have to say. First of all, play this short clip of Frank Clark, because I want you to know. You remember after the Chiefs won the Super Bowl, first person interview was Frank Clark.
Mm-hmm.
And Frank Clark is a great interview
Frank
after a
fun.
Big win.
No,
if you
great.
Have a playoff win, the first guy you want to hear from is Frank Clark. Now, this is not him on the field. This is just him, and I got this from P.J. Green from Fox 4's tweet, so thank you. And this is Frank Clark reiterating several times, he don't care. This is that's obviously,
yeah,
he didn't know what was going to happen
yeah.
on Sunday. He don't care who the Chiefs play next week.
Go to Atlanta or stay here?
It don't matter where we go. You already know it's a show. It don't matter to me.
You know,
I'm a dog. They gotta fight me anywhere I go. You know what I'm saying? It's a dog fight, man, no matter what's the environment. I zone out, you know, where there's Chiefs Kingdom, Atlanta, or my backyard, you know, somebody gotta get it.
Somebody's gotta get it.
It's true. So I was texting with my buddies about this, and I noticed this right when it happened. When Frank Clark got that sack, he did a kip up. Remember, you know, the thing where you
that's
roll back?
I screamed. That was tremendous.
And I said to myself,
that's like, I said, that's like the heartbreak kid, Shawn Michaels. Look at this guy out there on the football field.
And we were sitting up in the press box, and I'm like, listen, I'm 52 on the eve of 53.
I could never
I'm
do that,
old
though.
And I'm broken. I think I did a kip up when I was eight one time.
No,
but if you gave
me
a year and made me do a kip up
in football,
football gear.
No,
I don't think you could. No, maybe the helmet helps. And he didn't even really do it like they do. He didn't even put his hands back. He just anyway. Frank Clark is in great shape right now, and let's hope he stays healthy with it because he's had stomach issues.
Bo Jackson used to always do that when he would like slide at home, and so I would try that in high school time. And couldn't figure it out.
And hey, listen, these guys are supreme athletes and all that. And Frank Clark is very lean right now. He's lost a lot of weight with all the stomach stuff and everything, but he is. Like feeling good if you're kipping up on the
Frank.
Football
he didn't
field.
Look like that last year ever.
Playoff
I don't
Frank.
Remember the whole year him looking like that.
Let's hear a
I love
of...
Frank and I can't wait. This is gonna be a great game, obviously. It's gonna be fun. And playoff Frank's crazy. I heard you reading the stats. Frank Clark hasn't played in 7,000 playoff games, but he's got 12 playoff sacks.
Yeah, only three have more since 1982. Let's hear Andy Reid's perspective. He was asked what happened from the time Mahomes came out of the game. And, you know, them trying to convince him to get an x-ray to the point where Mahomes got back in the game.
Well, it was hard getting him out of the game, first of all. He wanted to fight, and so we got him out, went to the x-ray, got an x-ray, looked at, taped. He came back, and he said he felt good enough to be protected, you know, where he's not going to... get hurt. That's obviously the primary thing. And he felt like his mobility was good enough where he could do that. So we did a few little things with him on the sideline to see where he was at, put him in, and it was a short leash. So if I felt like he wasn't able to handle it, he would have been out and back in any. So
seemed like that affected it in any way in the second half, the injury?
I don't know, it didn't look like it, but I thought he did a pretty good job.
Was he really, when you put him back, when he goes back in, does that change what you want to do offensively, or is it just, you know, keep it?
Yeah, we basically kept everything the same. You know, we just kept it going, what we were doing before. So,
yeah. Okay, for the next clip, Andy Reid was then asked if Mahomes will play in the AFC Championship game.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I don't want to jump to things right now, but let's just see how it goes here the next couple days. He's going to be sore, I know. But I see where he's at. He's had this before, and he was able to keep pushing through. Actually, against Jacksonville, whenever a couple of years ago, same type of deal. So he pushed through that. The main thing is that he's safe, and that's as safe as you can be on a football field. So, you know, that's the important thing.
Here Andy talks about what he saw that stood out from his team once Chad Henne was in the game.
The best thing about that Vahe was everybody trusted Chad. That's the best part. That's the way he handles himself. And the confidence the guys have in him. I thought they all stepped up. The O-line did a nice job. Chad did a nice job getting the ball out on time. And the O-line did a nice job. The run game, Pacheco had the long run. It was beautiful. They blitzed on it, and he kind of got bumped back and kept going like he does, and put together a nice run, nice drive on the whole thing. But Chad, you know, the guys love Chad, and they play for him. So it was a great deal.
And then here's our very own Todd Lebo as he brings things back to the moments Mahomes went out of the game.
It would be like me trying to ask you not to ask a question. No, listen, he's a tough kid, and so he wanted to be in there, he wanted to be competing, and that's, you know, it's a tribute to him and his competitiveness. However, you know, you got to make sure he's okay, physically okay, where he can protect himself. And if he can't, then he can't play. I mean, you have to go with the next guy. But he's a tough nut, and he's very, when I tell you he's competitive, he's very, very competitive.
These nuts. Got him.
Got him.
Got him.
Got him. He got you. That's a zinger.
Or.
Got him.
Or.
What?
Did he just basically call me Patrick Mahomes?
Kind
of. You're the Patrick Mahomes of asking questions.
But he got you.
That's amazing.
That's because we're good friends now.
You know what? That's a hell of a compliment.
Did you chuckle?
Yes. Everyone laughed.
But did you chuckle?
Yeah.
Did you go, oh.
Yes.
Did your face turn a little red?
No, it actually didn't.
It didn't?
No.
I bet it did.
I was red-faced when he called me a shock jock out of anger. But
yeah, but you didn't blush a little bit at him comparing you to Patrick Mahomes and how tenacious you are.
Did anybody like elbow you in the...
Well, I was about four rows back because it was a full house of people. I was sitting back with, I don't know who this was, someone in a suit who wasn't part of the media.
What are you talking about?
There's like people in there. I mean, it's like family.
Wait a minute,
and
a guy
all
in a suit that's not in the media.
Yeah, there
what
was
are
some
you
people.
About?
Secret Service?
No, it kind of looked like that. I mean, there's this playoffs, man. You got the.
I understand that, but
like,
who was the guy in the suit?
A lot of Hunt family folks around.
Oh, was a member of the Hunt family?
No, not a member of the family, but people who was with some of those people. I don't know who he was. And then I don't know who was to my right then. There was a lot of people in that room. A lot of people. It's the playoffs.
Who was the guy in the suit? You're not.
I don't know.
Didn't you talk
I'd
to him?
I'd never seen him before. No, because I barely got in there. I was in there getting sound in the locker room, and they come through and they yell, "Coach is going to the podium. If the door shuts, you're not in there."
Was it Ryan Petkoff?
No, it wasn't Ryan Petkoff. He wasn't in there.
Ryan Petkoff.
I know Ryan. It wasn't
I know
him.
Ryan, too.
Yeah, it wasn't,
and I'm asking
it wasn't
if
him.
It was him.
It was someone else. It was someone like probably kind of like that, maybe. Who was like
What's
around,
that supposed to mean?
Like, you know, someone around.
I like
the,
Ryan.
Not a Chiefs employee, but a... So from somewhere else, maybe. I don't know. They were more finely dressed than
one of NBC's guys.
Did they let you see Patrick Mahomes' ankle when you're in there in the locker room or afterwards?
But you know, when I was in there and he was walking around, he was not like limping around like he was hurt.
Did you ask him to see it?
No,
I put it up here on the stool. Let me
take a quick look at this
picture and post it. Let's hear Patrick.
Hey, by the way, Patrick, I have the internet. Yeah. I can diagnose this.
Yeah,
I'd have been in.
I got WebMD on here.
I'd have been in there just like Miyagi, like.
Yeah.
and just put my hands on his ankle.
Here's what's going to happen. Today, there's going to be a Zoom today with Coach Reed, and he's going to say he doesn't really know what's up. We're going to get treatment. We're going to go to da da da.
He's going to say,
and then there'll be
it.
Availability on Wednesday, and then I don't know if they're going to give us Patrick on Wednesday or not, because we've done this before when the guy's hurt. Maybe they give you Henny. Maybe they give you Mahomes. I don't know.
Well, let's talk to
but
Henny.
I know this.
What?
Patrick Mahomes is playing in this football game. Yeah,
I know that.
Okay,
so? But he needs treatment.
The question
and you know
is,
what else I
what's
know?
He gonna...
Todd Lebo's going to ask some questions
right.
afterwards.
And
try
you know
to
what?
Stop him.
So will I.
So here's the deal. He's going to play.
Thank you.
And, you know, Andy said there they didn't really do anything differently when he came back in the game because they're not really prepared to do things really differently. But I agree with you, what you said earlier. This is your week to coach right here. You've got to scheme. This is going to be Coach Reed, EB, Matt Nagy, all hands on deck figuring out some plays that if your guy is not what you think he's going to be, that you have to be prepared.
They're
going to
come
to
up
go.
With a game plan of their lives.
Yes. And if it turns out, like, because if he gets out there, I think we all agree, he's not going to not start this game. He's playing right. in this game. But he goes out there and he gets hurt. You probably should have a few reps in for Henny this week more than he's had in recent weeks.
All right,
it's time, young man. It's time to take your diapers off and go to work.
Let's hear for more more from Patrick.
That's how it is with this one.
From Patrick Mahomes. Here,
I can't believe we haven't gotten the tough nut drop that you know when Andy Reid calls Patrick Mahomes a tough
he's
nut.
He's a right. tough nut.
Here,
well, that was
Patrick,
a tough nut to swallow.
Patrick Mahomes talks about the job that Chad Henne did in the game.
I mean, it's special, man. He's in the playoffs. He doesn't get any reps during the week. And he prepares himself to be able to go in for stuff like that. And then he got a 98-yard drive, backed up, a playoff game against a great opponent, and be able to drive the ball down the field, make some big throws versus some pressure looks. I mean, they brought some heat whenever he came in the game. And he made some big throws and was able to get us into the end zone. And that was a big point in the game because it was able to – that gave me the ability to kind of come back and rest and wait till halftime until we kind of retaped and did everything we could to get me ready to go in the second half.
Here – Patrick was asked if he had any mid-game treatment in order to help him get back in the game.
No, nothing. I mean, no real treatment. You don't have time to get treatment and stuff like that. But, I mean, you just put the spat on, get it tight, try to keep the swelling down, and then go out there and play. And they made me do a couple things in the locker room to show that I could move and protect myself if everything kind of came, pressure came, whatever it was. And, I mean, credit to the team. Offensive line did a great job in that second half protecting me. I got the ball in my hands quickly, and guys made plays. But it's a team sport for a reason. The guys stepped up around me.
Now, he said no on the treatment, but I didn't hear a question about a shot.
I don't think there's any question that something besides a spat and tape was
right.
done. You know,
right?
They might have rubbed some Ben Gay on it, something like that.
Some,
you know,
essential oils,
icy hot, some CBD.
CBD American Shaman.
Yeah,
he's and I know this. Like generally Saturday, like they had a game on Saturday, right? And most guys probably went out, had a little meal and all that stuff. Patrick's week changed the second he got hurt. I'll bet he was doing treatment most of the night, all day Sunday. He's probably already in there now. This is important. I mean, this is what you play for. This is legacy stuff. You go play these football games. And as you mentioned, this is the fifth straight AFC Championship game for these guys. You don't get these chances every year. This is unusual what's happening
right
with
now.
The Chiefs. There are Hall of Fame quarterbacks who didn't get to play in five conference championship games. So there's no guarantee that it just gets to happen every year.
That's
like
how many
this.
Peyton Manning played in.
His whole career.
His career.
And there are Hall of Fame quarterbacks who didn't get to play in that many as well. So he's going to go play in this game. He's going to do whatever he can. He's going to be treatment, whatever. All of it is going to happen this week to get himself ready to play in this game.
The thing is, like, when you were saying this was a legacy moment, Stephen, you know, him. This is now the drive with the ankle. I don't know what we call this one, but we have to sit down and start writing these out. He's going to have 100 of them.
Yeah,
I mean between the 13 seconds,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I mean just like the run against the Titans, you know, the comeback against the Texans. There's like,
well, how about the comeback against the Patriots just to get it to overtime? I mean, all
the
that.
49ers
about that?
In the Super Bowl.
I mean, like, there's like how many moments can one guy have before
Let's
he
find
even
out.
Turns 30? It's incredible.
Let's
and
hear
he's,
more.
He's definitely the old man still in the playoffs. It's crazy
well,
to me.
Dak Prescott blanked the bet again.
No, he did great.
Here is Patrick Mahomes when he was asked about adapting to his injury mid-game.
Yeah, you just got to be a competitor at the end of the day. I mean, not all things are going to be perfect. You have to find a way to make stuff happen. Obviously, I missed some throws I probably think I could have made if I would have been in the right foot position. But luckily for me, I'm not in the right foot position all the time, so I'm able to make some throws like that anyways.
Here he was asked what it was, the experience of playing through that pain.
I mean, I'm not coming out of a playoff game unless they take me out. And so I'm just going to play. I love this sport too much. I love this game. I love playing with my teammates and being able to go out there and enjoy it together. And we prepare all year to be in the playoffs and to play in these games. And I'm glad that I was able to get back in the game. And, I mean, it's something that I just love competing in this sport. And pain is pain, and you're going to have to deal with it either way.
Patrick was asked if he was nervous while getting the x-rays.
Yeah, pretty nervous moments, man. I mean, I always pray whenever stuff like that comes around, man, and just it's all in God's hands at the end of the day, and I just have to accept whatever it is and turn it into a positive. And so luckily for me, he blessed me to keep me injury-free as far as breaks or anything like that. And so now how can I prepare my body to be ready to go next week? And I'll start that tonight, and that process will be tough, but I'll be ready to go.
And let me tell you something, Patrick Mahomes II. I was praying right along with you very hard. And I know.
Yes, sir.
And as I prayed to sweet baby Jesus, I know that baby Jesus has other things on his mind and other things are more important. But I still felt it necessary to give at least a few minutes of prayer to baby Jesus. And I said, please heal this very tender ankle in Kansas City. And I know that you've got many other things that you're looking at and trying to deal with around the world. Won't you take 30 seconds to heal this very tender ankle in Kansas City? Thank you, baby Jesus. I love you.
And so at least you got to pray to baby Jesus with a TV. They don't have a TV in the x-ray room.
Right.
That's what he was talking about as well. It's like, no, you don't know what's going on. So then it's really weird. Listen, he said, I'm not coming out of a playoff game unless they take me out. He wasn't going back to the locker room unless Big Red.
He threw his coat.
Andy had to go tell him. I don't know if I ever remember, like, another player getting sent back to the locker room to get tested, where Andy had to go say, listen, you're not going back in this game
right.
unless we do this. That was a wild moment.
I feel like
I missed a decent portion of the game because once this happened, all I was doing was
looking at the angle.
Looking at Mahomes on the bench and what he was doing. And that, like, when he first came out, they just put the big coat on him. And then he wouldn't sit down because you didn't want to sit down and get everything tightened up, right? He's walking around. He had his little tablet wandering around looking at plays, and all by himself, he's wandering all over just keeping it loose. Normally, when they're not on the field, the offense is sitting on the heated benches, and they're looking at plays. And, you know, the coaches are over sitting down during all that stuff. He wasn't sitting down at all. And then when the coat deal happened, he's like, all right, well, he's back there now.
What's Good Morning Football saying right now? They're talking about Mahomes. What's this Ian Rappaport? Can't go to that, can you?
Now, if he was on 212,
that's getting cute.
On 33,
I just want to see Ian Rappaport to get cute.
Yeah, it? Don't worry about it right now.
But look, you got, you got the MVP of the league, the best quarterback in the world, and that whole time you're thinking, I don't know if he's coming back in.
It's crazy.
And while you're doing it, while you're going through this, Chad Henne,
the game goes on.
98 yard drive. They put his ass in there again. The words of Gary Pinkel, like, you don't know what you got with your teabagging a quarterback until you drink hot water.
Hot water. And they put him in first play.
You don't know what you got once you drop the.
Your tea nuts.
Yeah, quarterbacks are like teabags. You don't know what you got till you drop them in hot water. You talk about.
Hot
Chad
water.
Henne, you're watching this game. It's a divisional round.
Hey, Chad Henne in hot water with the Chiefs
but
before.
But take over at your
awesome.
Own two.
Yes.
And do something.
This isn't his first teabagging.
No.
And do something. And he drove 98 yards for the touchdown. Here finally, number six for Patrick Mahomes. He was asked about reaching a fifth straight AFC championship game.
Yeah, I mean, it's a credit to the team I have around me, the coaches I have around me, and the organization in general. I mean, we prepare ourselves every year from training camp in St. Joe's, Missouri, to be here. But it takes a day-by-day process, and I think the coaches preach that, the players do that, and the organization around us supports us in that mission. And so we just try to do whatever we can to be in this position to get to this AFC Championship game, and then now we'll find a way to get to the Super Bowl, and that's going to take a great week of preparation and practice.
And let me tell you something else. We haven't talked about him, but he had 2 touchdowns. He had 98 yards. He had 14 catches. That's the most the tight ends ever had in a playoff game. And he damn near broke the record for most catches by anyone in a playoff game, and that's Travis Kelce. And then the Pro Football Hall of Fame tweeted out, Mahomes and Kelce joined Joe Montana and Jerry Rice for the second most postseason touchdowns of any quarterback receiver pairing in NFL history. Are you kidding me? What we're watching right now? And I didn't do it. I didn't start doing it last year or the year before. 4-5 years ago, I'd argue with Jeff Chedia. Travis Kelce's the best tight end in Chiefs history. And Jeff, are you including Tony Gonzalez? Yeah, I'm including Tony Gonzalez. Noted Atlanta Falcon Tony Gonzalez. Yes, I'm including him. And Travis Kelce's the best of all time. He's better
incredible.
And he's rewriting the record book. Now, 4 or 5 years later, I don't get a lot of pushback on that argument. Because Kelce, all he does is produce.
What was your favorite Tony Gonzalez playoff moment?
Actually, in the 97 playoff game against the Broncos, he caught the touchdown and he was pushed out of bounds, but then he did catch another touchdown. You know, he should have had 2 touchdowns.
So his rookie year in Kansas City was your favorite thing, yeah.
And then that was pretty much it. Travis Kelce's last 7 playoff games. Would you like to hear it?
These are big numbers.
Would you like to hear it?
Yes.
You think you know it?
Nope.
No, you don't. Last 7 playoff games.
Okay.
14.
8 for 109 with a touchdown. 13 for 118 with 2 touchdowns, 10 for 133, 5 for 108 with a touchdown, 8 for 96 touchdown, 10 for 95 touchdown, 14 for 98 2 touchdowns.
And Patrick missed him wide open a couple of times. He might have had 20 catches.
Did you hear what I just read? And this is there. You know, we got to stop Kelce. Oh, do you?
You know, and it does. It blows your mind. Like how can he be open?
Every time.
How could the other team not have him covered?
Because he's an unbelievable package of size, speed, agility, intelligence, smarts, and good looks.
And I would say the intelligence and smarts might be at the top of the list of all that stuff now. That dude understands the offense as well as the quarterbacks. And listening to that podcast where they talked about it really illustrates it. But, man, there is something to be said for this. I used to think maybe people overrated these things a little too much.
No.
It is a huge knock on the Buffalo Bills that they're not winning in the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is when the cream rises to the top. The cream rises. I mean, Kelce steps up in the playoffs because he is great. That catch that Kittle made yesterday.
That was great.
That was great. God. And he's not as good as Kelce, but he's damn good. But that's the cream rising to the top.
That was great.
You know, like Dak Prescott, cream didn't rise to the top.
No.
You know, and like you do. And by the way, that's why the guys that are coming to town, I think everybody here in town, we all respect the Bengals. Nobody here is like, oh, we got some chumps coming in here that can't win.
This is a real deal.
They got dudes that step up in the postseason too, you know?
The rivalry that the NFL tried to push on us, remember first it was get ready for years of Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson. Every year in the playoff, they're going to be bad. Then it was get ready for Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen.
Well, then it was now, Deshaun Watson year, briefly.
Well, then
oh, yeah, it was for a second.
It was massaged. Yeah. and then.
Wasn't happening.
Now, anymore. It's but no one tried really to promote this. Now, all of a sudden, like Joe Burrow's like, I got this. Hold my beer.
Yeah.
Hold my cigar. And by the way, and now Cincinnati absolutely has the player that I dislike more than anyone on any NFL roster.
Which one's this one?
Eli Apple. Did you see his cigar press conference yesterday?
No, I didn't see. I saw that. Some of his nonsense
I'll
during the game.
I'll play that for you. We will take a break. When we come back, we'll hear from Travis Kelce on Sports Radio 810 WHB. All right, let me play a couple of more clips from Mahomes, and then we'll play a couple of Kelce and get you guys' thoughts on some topics. 11 and 12 from Mahomes, please. Here, Mahomes was asked about Travis Kelce's performance, 14 catches, 98 yards, 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, man, it's another guy that steps up, man. It seems like he gets better and better in the playoffs as you get further and further in there. And you need those type of guys. And he did a great job of making some tough contested catches. He's special, man. He's a special player, one-of-a-kind player. One of the main reasons that we've been able to be in this position so many times.
Here's Mahomes when he was asked about that big drive that led to the MVS touchdown.
Yeah, no, it was a good drive by everybody. I think everybody had a part in that drive. Everybody was making plays. And that's what championship teams do, is that whenever stuff's not going their way and the game gets tight, how are you going to respond? And I went down. I kind of jumped and landed on the same ankle. But I had to find a way to get the ball in the end zone, and Marquez was there, and I needed to make the throw. And he stepped up, made a big play there at the end of the game to win it.
Travis Kelce was asked about everything that goes on behind the scenes that leads to a guy like Chad Henne to be prepared and to be able to go in there and drive the team 98 yards for a touchdown.
You have a veteran mind, a veteran QB, a guy you can bounce things off of. I know I've learned a lot just from talking to Chad about the things that he likes to see, it's just a different style of quarterback. So you always want to kind of be on the same page with everybody in that room. And, Chad's been nothing but the best quarterback he can be throughout it all. And what I mean by that is every single day he's preparing as if he's the starting quarterback, as if he's one snap away. And sure enough, you saw that today. I mean, to be able to come into a hostile game, backed up on your 2-yard line and go 98 yards on your first drive, man, that just shows the type of competitor he is and how the guys rallied around him because of how much leadership he has.
Here's Travis Kelce when he was asked about that 98-yard drive.
I mean, I can already appreciate it for what it is. I don't have to go any further in life to really, have appreciation for that drive. There were a bunch of third downs that we needed to, dig deep and find a way to get the first down. And sure enough, Chad was out there leading us the entire way.
Travis, you already said how much you appreciate Chad and what he did. When he comes back in the game and you don't really know what's going on with Patrick, do you have in mind that he's your guy for the rest of the thing? And what kind of, excitement or whatever did you get when Patrick was back in there?
You got to take the game play by play, series by series, and it's not necessarily getting excited. It's just having the attention to detail and the alertness, if that's even a word, or I'm trying to find the right words here. You just have to be locked in and have the sense of urgency, no matter who's in the game. And obviously it's a different feeling when 1-5's in there, a guy that can make anything happen, even on one ankle or whatever happened to him today. And, that's just the mentality. You always have to be able to lock in and take it play by play and drive by drive and not let the emotions of the game get the best of you.
And finally, here's Chad Henne. Much like Nate Buchanan says, Chad Henne said when Mahomes got hurt, it was go time.
I don't know if it's just like riding a bike, but you're always prepared. And I think with this offense, obviously all our weapons that we have and staying prepared each and every moment, I think you just stay ready. And when your number's called, you just go in there and do what you did in practice in the meeting rooms and you just take it to the game.
What are you thinking? You get started at the 2-yard line. They don't even cut you a break. What were your thoughts at that point?
Yeah, I mean, they did a great job. I mean, changing field position just like we did. And I think at that point, it's just take what they give you. Just a couple of the first play was a stick, hit Kelce and kind of got us going. Then we had a nice run. And, you get in a little rhythm and you kind of keep the pressure on. And, the biggest thing was just rely on your preparation just like you do in practice.
Henne was impressive, but listen, this is not some kid. He's started in the league. He's done a lot of things. He's come in for the Browns game a couple of years ago. He made plays to help win that game. They thought enough of him to have him throw that fourth down conversion to ice that game away. This is a professional guy. And, I mean, you listen, he's not better than Patrick Mahomes. But he was good enough to come in there and make the plays they needed. They really needed that drive. You needed to kind of calm everything down because everyone was so, nervous about what was going on with Mahomes. It was interesting. It's funny when you're... I had a friend of mine who was in the game text me like 10 minutes after it happened, what's going on with Mahomes? I mean, because you can't exactly get on the cell phone and read everything if the phones aren't working because there's 75,000 people there. They don't make an announcement on the Jumbotron that Patrick Mahomes is hurt. You know, they're on the other side of the stadium trying to look. It's a weird thing.
Was
to
Bob Moore in there making announcements over the PA?
No,
and the
they finally did make an announcement.
Attention media.
It was an ankle. It was questionable. It was the announcement they made at that point. But then
Charlie Bache is questionable to return to the game.
You know, after ankle he ran contusion. Back, he ran back and got the X-ray. Then that's when I think Ian Rappaport, right before half, maybe said high ankle sprain. Then everyone's scared about high ankle sprain because that's a month,
Lebo,
right?
Listen,
I'll be happy to do that in a private meeting with you.
Of course you will.
That's
private
Bob Moore
meeting.
For you.
It was Bob Moore, mm-hmm. But it was when these things are happening. You know, we're all fixated on what's going on with him. These guys on the field have to go play football. They don't just wait around and say, "Well, let's find out what the X-rays are before." I mean, luckily for the National Football League players, they get their results quickly. It's not like regular folks get those results to you in about 4 days. They got right. These things turned around.
Do you think that,
we
got to
clear through your insurance first.
Did Patrick have to get on his phone and look in the patient portal?
He had to
pre-register. Yeah.
And go
first
do
First of
it.
All, we got to see if insurance will approve
you have
the MRI.
Results. So do you have to have his card out there and have a copay?
I don't have. Ah,
it'll be $50, Patrick.
Last year's card. Holmes had to go to his locker.
And Brittany's got my card. So they
He's
got those things
Brittany,
quick.
He's like, "Hey, what's my insurance number?"
Right.
High ankle sprain scares people. I mean, a high ankle sprain, it's weeks for a lot of guys. Well, it was half an hour for this guy. Cuz you're going.
I don't know if he wants his name attached to it, so I won't say it again.
Who is
but
it?
With the two healthcare professionals I was watching the game with.
Dr. Epler was one of them.
You already said one of them. Damn it, Leba.
I was listening.
When we were watching, first thing, I thought it was his knee.
Right, that's what a lot of my friends thought, too.
When he got twisted, I was like, "Oh, that's a knee." And then I'm thinking to myself, that's not just about this year. That gets into next year. When you start doing a ligament or something like that. But then
we know his knees are special.
When you knew it was an ankle and they showed it again, the two healthcare professionals I was watching with said, you know, his ankle actually, usually when you sprain your ankle, it's like it rolls to the outside. Mm-hmm. You know, like you said, and his actually rolled to the inside.
Right, it's different.
And because the guy landed on it a little bit. And they thought that was a good thing. That better than if it rolls the other way.
So who's that? The Dallas kid, he broke his ankle yesterday.
He broke
his,
yes.
And he's
going
to have surgery. So that's what they needed the X-ray for. And I'll throw my coat down and go get your damn X-ray if you want me to.
Do you? We've all watched the video over and over again. I saw people arguing about this. Do you think it was a dirty play? Do you think he intentionally tried to hurt
Patrick
Mahomes?
No, I don't think it's Arden a dirty
key.
Play.
I don't either. I kind of thought when people were doing that, you're showing that in slow motion.
Yeah, the super slow motion.
When you watched it live, they're trying to tackle a guy who's been running all over the place and
now,
you know, making plays.
What, Todd, do you take away from the absolute beatdown that Cincinnati put on Buffalo?
Ooh,
I'll tell you this, just real quick, what my thoughts are, and tell me what you think. Buffalo, this is a disaster for them, and their window maybe closing. And I know Josh Allen's young and everything else.
Well, at least they're hanging together as a team.
But they put all this money, they spent all this money. And look, and Nate believed this. It was good for this year. But overall, that was a bad investment on Von Miller because of his age and his injury history. It was a move of desperation. Mm-hmm. Had he been out there, maybe they win, maybe they don't. But he wasn't. And now they're stuck with him. And now, like you said, you got Diggs, you know, yelling at
leaving
Josh Allen on the sideline. Do you see that?
Mm-hmm.
And then leaving the stadium and not wanting to be there, trying to leave with his uniform on, a la Joe Phillips. Do you remember when he did that after a playoff game?
He drove home. He made it home.
Yeah. But Diggs, you know, not wanting to talk to anyone after the game. The Bills, the last 3 years, have gone championship game, then losing in overtime in the divisional round, then getting their ass kicked in the divisional round. They're going backwards.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then you look around like, oh, they're clearly now third behind the Chiefs and the Bengals. Josh Allen is clearly behind Mahomes and Joe Burrow. And guess what? With the amount of money that they have to spend and with what they're going to do in the offseason and the upside of some of the young players, maybe Jacksonville's better than Buffalo next year. Buffalo is in what they call deep doo-doo.
Yeah. Well, from the Bengals front, the Bengals haven't lost a game since Halloween. Okay, they lost that Monday night game. It was just a mess at the Browns. For some reason, the Browns kind of have their number. They haven't lost a game since then. And they stopped the one game, and they were going to beat the Bills' ass that night too, I think. That was that was at home. They were already up seven. They were moving the ball. The Bengals are elite on offense. They have elite wide receivers, an elite quarterback. You know, are there elite running backs anymore in the world? You know, I guess Mixon and P. Ryan are a nice mix there. Their tight end is not Travis Kelce, but he's not some stiff. They have weapons all over, and they keep telling me that their line is hurt and it's no good. But I keep watching them run over people and protect Joe Burrow. So whatever on that front. The question is, can the Chiefs score enough points to beat this team? And that's where your fears come in on Patrick Mahomes' health. You would rather have him be at full strength. But even at full strength, the Chiefs haven't scored 30 points against this Bengals team, right? They have lost to them three times in a row. What was the final there? Was that 30s? Did they get to 30 there, the game that they won?
Talking about the first one, 34-31.
That one got to 30, and then the playoff game didn't, and the game at Cincinnati this year didn't.
27-24.
Right, so they haven't gotten there yet. They lost the turnover battle last time by one. But that one was huge because the Chiefs had the lead and had the ball, mm-hmm. and Travis Kelce got the ball ripped away from him. If he doesn't fumble that ball, I think they probably win that game. And the Chiefs absolutely blew the title game last year. So they got all the motivation in the world to be ready for this game.
And everyone's counting the Chiefs out.
The big question mark is, if you're telling me I'd rather have 70% of Patrick Mahomes or 100% of Chad Henry, okay. I'd rather have 70% of Patrick Mahomes, but I'd much rather have 100% of Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, and here's the thing, too, is Bengals defensive coordinator Lou Anarumo.
Yeah, he's the guy. Everyone should hire him right now.
Well,
that's
he's
what
a hot
says.
Guy now,
yeah.
But like he...
They were all high on Leslie Frazier first quarter yesterday,
He was
too.
Dialing up all kinds of pressures mm-hmm. yesterday that were causing Josh Allen problems, and honestly, it was reminding me, it was giving me flashbacks to the AFC Championship game last year. Mahomes, that was like one of the only times I ever remember Mahomes struggling with identifying where the pressure
right.
was coming from
in the second half.
And dealing with it, just in terms of what he should do with the ball. And you put that on top of the fact that he's not going to be as mobile as he usually is, that does make me nervous.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to have to figure out his pressure package, you know, and guys are going to have to be on their P's and Q's on where these pressures are coming from, because you know they're thinking about that right now. He's designing this entire defensive game plan going, we've got a Patrick Mahomes that's not going to be as mobile as he usually is that
all,
we can get at.
All the factors in a football game are heightened in the postseason. Special teams, turnovers, you know, pressures, all that kind of stuff. The Chiefs absolutely need to be perfect in special teams. They need to be even or win the turnover battle. I don't think they're beating the Bengals at minus.
They got to hit Joe Burrow.
They got to get him on the ground. They did not do that last year. It chewed at him all offseason. Chris Jones was thinking about it in July when we talked to
him.
He's
still thinking about it.
And he still hasn't had his first playoff sack. But they need to get to him. Both of these teams do really nice blitzes with their secondary guys. That Mike Hilton for the Bengals. Mm-hmm. Disrupted that game. We see what L'Jarius Sneed did all year long. It was a nice blitz by Justin Reed on the interception at the end of the game that iced it. This is going to be that one of those chess match type things where the football nerds are going to love, you know, breaking all this stuff down as it happens. I can't wait for it. It's going to be awesome. We're going to sit here and fret for 6 days about Patrick Mahomes and his ankle.
I'm not.
But it's just going to be what it's going to be, and this game is going to be wild. But I know this. The Bengals don't care about anything. They're built to take it on the road. They won here last year. They're a tough team, and they are more driven now than they were last
year. And that's great.
Because now they had the taste of the Super Bowl. So this is I can't think of a better matchup for a title game. This is so much better than the Bills again. This is going to be awesome.
The Chiefs are going to win. And what's really interesting to me is the difference between this team and the team that lost to the Bengals last year, because at the end of the day, when they trade Tyreek Hill, even though they did try to keep him, what's one of the selling points of trading Tyreek Hill? We're going to spread that money around. We're going to get draft picks,
new people.
We're going to get money to be able to replenish the secondary. and go out and be able to get young, right? And to become a more complete football team. And so last year with Tyreek Hill and a lot of, let's just be honest, a lot of bad spots on that defense, right, that needed to be upgraded, they lost in overtime mm-hmm. to the Bengals. They go out, they trade Tyreek Hill, and what do? To try to make people feel better about it, we even tried to explain it. They got better in the secondary, younger and better in the secondary. They got better defensively. They went out and were able to use these draft picks to get younger, to get more athletic, to be more explosive defensively. Instead of having Kelce and Hill, which would we love to have Hill still? Of course, okay? But it's different now. You've got an upgrade at running back at Pacheco, and he is an upgrade over what they had last year in CEH. You know, they still got McKinnon. But now you've got a more diverse offense and a better all-around team than last year, we think. And so now they have a chance to go out and prove it. And this may be, what the great thing is, this may be now in the postseason, now that it's all come together, this may be what it takes to beat Cincinnati. I know they had a crack at them earlier this year, but so what? I don't care about the regular season. All right? If the regular season gave you championships, the Bills would still be celebrating.
Oh, well, they weren't the one seed.
Yeah, whatever. But now let's see. Let's see if this all works out.
It's going to be awesome.
The way it's supposed to.
Can't wait.
Okay? Because I do have higher hopes that this – I mean, this defense proved it on Saturday. They came through in a big way.
That second half of the title game last year was a wake-up call for this organization. And yeah. I think they've answered the call, and now they get to put it to the test. The only thing that's a little disheartening is you just wish you had your quarterback at full strength. And there's no question he's not going to be at full strength. But he is an amazing player, even if he's not at full strength. And they have amazing coaches who, given 8 days to figure out how to do this, are going to come up with a great plan. I mean, I don't think the Chiefs are going to sit there and score 10 points like the Bills did. Okay, they're going to have something for the Bengals defense, and it's going to be these are stars. This is a star-studded game. This is exactly what you want. And the cool part about the NFL is it's a little old Cincinnati, a little old Kansas City. I love that part.
Are we going to go together?
Well, we're not driving together.
No, but I mean, like, meet and then go.
Sure. Well, no. I mean, we'll drive separate. You got.
I know, but meet there in the parking lot and then go in together.
Sure.
Oh, you want to go to, like...
Oh, we got some tailgates.
Andy from Andy's sure. Frozen Custards invited us.
You guys could go around and shake hands with some of the super fans.
I love it.
It's probably time to break.
We go run to the bank real quick with one of the super fans?
Yeah.
Do you want to go to Andy's tailgate?
Absolutely, we'll go to Andy's.
Stop.
Like, actually, that was bad luck last year, wasn't it?
Well, no, we got it. Hey, we are not to be deterred.
Okay.
Right.
Okay?
And there are no jinxes.
We'll be out there, so you and I will be out there covering the game.
Yeah. That's so you say.
Well, I say. Will they let, so what's the situation now for the AFC Championship game? Can we go in the locker room?
Yeah, oh yeah. That's what we need. We need to be able to be in two places at once.
We'll be right back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Let's check in with Gary Lezak. What's up, Gary?
Have you pinched yourself a few times? Five straight AFC championship games at Arrowhead? Have you pinched yourself?
I will pinch myself, but
pinch me there.
I do. I know you want to talk about other things, but I do want to know what the early word is for Sunday 5:30 kickoff at Arrowhead.
17 to 20 degrees for kickoff temperature. Wind chills of below zero. The chance of snow is more likely in the morning, but we'll have to look at that. Hopefully there's no snow, but it's going to be brutally cold. I issued that Arctic Air Watch. Only one company in the world issues these. It's Weather 2020, my company, and there is legitimate reason to issue one. It's going to be brutally cold, and there's like three or four surges. The first surge comes down Saturday night and Sunday, and it could change. The timing could change on that. The strength could change on that. But it's minus 40 in Canada and this blast of Arctic air is coming down. I also issued on Twitter that 100-day forecast using the LRC for draft week. I don't want to be a bearer of all bad news, but there's a chance of a very good chance of significant severe weather in our area that week. So maybe it'll be the 25th before the NFL draft or the 30th.
Right. Thankfully, I don't care about the draft week right now. So,
okay, good. I do. Anyway, I just want to put that out there. Here's a take. Very interesting. You know, Mahomes has an injury. Remember in 2019 after he hurt his knee, his first game back is very interesting against Tennessee. Here are the statistics for Patrick Mahomes. The first one is the most important one. He did not rush. He did not run one time. Not one rush. Okay? So that's amazing. He was 36 for 50 in the pocket. 36 for 50 for 446 yards. The Chiefs ridiculously lost that game at the very end to Tennessee, 35-32. You might remember it was a crazy ending. But Patrick Mahomes in the pocket, 36 for 50. All right? So if he has to stay in the pocket because he's a little less mobile or he can't scramble as much, I think we're good. What do you guys think?
Oh, I have all the faith in the world in Patrick Mahomes. He'll perform at a high level and high enough to get the Chiefs back to the Super Bowl on Sunday.
Are we underdogs?
No, slight favorites. Last time I checked, it was they were favored by a point and a half.
Is this the first time we feel like we're actually? I mean, I feel we're underdogs. I mean, Cincinnati is that hot right now. It's good. Good to be the underdog a little bit.
It's just us against the world.
All right. Today, cloudy. An Arctic blast is due in Sunday, guys. Saturday will be in the 50s, possibly 40s and 50s. So we will keep you updated on this Arctic blast watch. Have a good day, guys. Go Chiefs!
That is Gary Lezak back after this with Adam Teicher on WHB.